numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. In this hour, Jason Weingarten, Dwayne Colucci. A lot of fun. I haven't talked to Colucci in a long time, Kelly. Be good to talk to Dwayne. Hockey, yeah, stuff from behind the counter. Any horse racing questions later for Colucci, Kelly?
Who's going to win the Kentucky Derby? Come on, we got to know already, right?
Well, we're a little over 2 months away.
Yeah, come on.
From the first Saturday in May, which, by the way,
Yeah, we got the Arkansas Derby and the Florida Derby before that.
I can tell you, Kelly, the Kentucky Derby is the least profitable day on the betting calendar for me every single year.
Yeah, because you usually
Because I have to have something on the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, it's usually
never win.
Two or three tickets for whatever horse to win, and then they go in the trash about 3 minutes later, right?
Yes. It is the worst betting experience until I win one, and then I'll say it's the best wet betting experience. Wish I had Country House the year that whatever the horse's name got a DQ'd midstream. That should be a horse's name, by the way, whatever his name is. Right, Kelly?
Whatever his name is, yeah.
That should be a horse name. All right, to college hoops we go. Kelly, do you just want to play this the way we played this week?
Let's do it. You ready?
Let's go. I do want to start with one game that actually is not on your list, if you're okay with that.
Of course.
And then we'll move to the list. And that's Ohio State and Penn State. Because, Kelly, I don't know how much you've been paying attention to the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Ohio State University Buckeyes are really bad, Kelly. They are 3-13 in the Big Ten. The last time they won, they beat Iowa. And that was, I need the exact date, and that is January 21st. Kelly, I'm not a mathematician. That's more than a month ago. And not only that, they're not covering. They're getting drilled. They didn't cover against Illinois. They didn't cover against Indiana. They didn't cover against Wisconsin. They didn't cover against Michigan. They lost outright and didn't cover as a favorite at home against Northwestern. Same deal against Michigan State. Got pounded at Carver-Hawkeye last week, and then Purdue beat them by a million on Sunday. And now tonight, they're a two-point favorite against Penn State. Penn State is on the wrong side of the bubble. Really, that loss against Nebraska hurt them. If they had won that game, they might even be on the right side of the bubble. Because other than that, they really don't have a bad loss on their resume. Kelly, I know I'm going to regret this. I know I'm going to regret this. But I like Ohio State. I like the Buckeyes tonight. What could go wrong? They haven't won in a month. They haven't covered in seven games.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
What do you like about them tonight?
I just think it's a good spot for them. And I think Penn State, again, coming off two straight wins where they swept Illinois and then beat the Big Ten's worst in Minnesota, I don't think it's a good spot for Penn State. And the market agrees with me, by the way, because this was 1.5 on the overnight. Most of the market is 3. South Point is the lone 2 left. So I like the Buckeyes. I think that's good up to 3. I think 3 is fine. If you can get the South Point number, lay the 2. That's what I did when I walked in this morning, Kelly. So I'm on Ohio State minus the 2.
Okay.
And I'm sure when Penn State's up by 15 with 7 minutes ago, I'll be like, why did I do this to myself?
All right. Why well, I like I it. That? So that's a bet for you tonight?
That's in there.
Ohio State minus 2 for Jeff Parles.
I'm gonna tell you, I like way too many favorites tonight. Usually when that is the case, that usually means it's a bad night for me, Kelly. So that's what the numbers. My numbers really didn't pop much of anything today, just prefacing all this. That's one of them that did pop was Ohio State, even with how horrible they've been over the last few weeks. All right, we can keep it in the Big Ten. Let's go to New Jersey.
Michigan at Rutgers.
There we go.
Rutgers laying 5 to 5.5, 135-ish your total on this game. What do you like here, Jeff?
Michigan needs to win. If Michigan's going to have any shot at stealing an at-large bid, they got to have this one tonight. Rutgers is in kind of a weird spot also because they had that just absurdist loss at home to Nebraska mixed in. Lenardi had him as a 5 on Tuesday, or as a 9 on Tuesday, I should say. And, look, as long as Rutgers – the one problem Rutgers has is the remaining schedule, if they lose, like if they go 1-3 down the stretch with home games against Michigan and Northwestern and road games at Penn State and Minnesota, they could be in a little bit of trouble because only Northwestern is really a quality win at this point. I have nothing here. My numbers made this 5 with Rutgers. So technically the slightest of edges of 5.5 on Michigan, but I'm not enough for me to bet this. I don't think either of these teams are any good. I want Rutgers to be good, but their offense just not good enough. They're not going to win more. If they win a game in a tournament, it's a massive success, even though I don't see that happening. So no play in Jersey for me. And now, Kelly, we get to Twitter's favorite type of play, right?
That's right. Illinois at home laying 6 to Northwestern. Total around 136 for this game.
All right.
Ranked Northwestern.
Ranked Northwestern, unranked Illinois. Illinois' favorite. We know what Twitter will say. You have to bet the Fighting Illini tonight, Kelly. It's a requirement. You lose your sharp card if you don't.
And they are 6. 6 over?
6. 6. So
I don't even like this as a tight spread.
This is a tricky spot for Northwestern, Kelly. That's my biggest concern here. Northwestern's won 5 in a row. In that stretch, they won at Wisconsin, a place they really have never won over the last 2 decades. They beat Ohio State. All right, Ohio State's terrible. We got that. And then the 3-game homestand they just had, they beat Purdue when they were number 1. They blew a big lead but found a way to beat Indiana late, who's legitimate top 20 team, and then they smoked Iowa on Sunday. Smoked them in Evanston. It is a brutal spot for Northwestern. Absolutely brutal. With that winning streak, going back on the road, playing an in-state rival, who quite frankly, Illinois is in the tournament. Illinois has been one of the more infuriating teams to figure out in the country this year, because I think they have top 15 talent, and they're pretty average. They're in the NCAA tournament pretty safely, but they should be much better than they are. They beat Minnesota by 9 over the weekend, earlier this week. They lost to Indiana on Saturday. This is their third game in less than a week, though, Kelly. So that is a little bit of a concern there. But this is, I really want to bet Northwestern, but I can't bring myself to do it because it is a bad spot. More than the trend, which we know 29 and 14 teams that are unranked and favored at home against a ranked team. It's been a great bet this year. We talked about it earlier in the week. We went against it with Miami and won, but I just can't do it. It's just such a horrible spot for the Wildcats, so it's no play for me.
Okay. Moving on, Pac-12 action, 9 o'clock Eastern, USC at Colorado. Colorado laying about 2.5 here, 140.5 looks to be your consensus total here.
A lot of vomit on this one, Kelly. Don't like this one at all. Here's what I'll tell you with Colorado. Colorado is one of the better, they have a neutral site win against Tennessee by double digits. Kelly, you know what they did the game before that earlier in the day? They lost at Grambling. Probably the most ridiculous back-to-back you're ever going to see. Where you lose to the SWAC team and then you flip around and beat Tennessee in Nashville, no less. This Colorado team's been a big disappointment. They made the round of 32 2 years ago. They beat Georgetown by a lot in that first round. But I'm kind of surprised they have looked as bad as they have this year. Boyle's a good coach. But USC is not reliable. USC should make the NCAA tournament, Kelly. Right now, Lenardi, this is an important game to them. Lenardi has them as the next-to-last team in. And I'm assuming after Wisconsin's win last night against Iowa that USC would be the last team in the field. Now, and they could even be on the outside looking in by the end of the night, according to Lenardi. It is an extraordinarily important game for USC, but it is a difficult place to play. It's the first of the tough elevation back-to-back of Boulder and Salt Lake City for the LA teams this week. I have nothing here. USC is better, but I don't love taking teams in the first game of that mountain back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's makes a stay-off for me.
Okay, makes sense. Keeping the Pac-12. 11 o'clock Eastern time, UCLA at Utah.
9 o'clock local time in Salt Lake?
Yeah. We got UCLA laying,
past people's bedtime.
Laying 7, 130 and a half, the total here.
Utah popped in my numbers, Kelly. But I don't know. Again, Utah's 10-7 in conference play. Most years, that'd probably be good enough to get you in the NCAA tournament, but their non-conference slate, every good team they played, they lost to. They lost to Sam Houston State by 10 at home. Sam Houston State's a solid WAC team this year. They lost to Mississippi State, bubble and SEC team at best. They lost to BYU, who's way down this year. And they lost to TCU. Again, that's a legitimately good loss. Nothing wrong with that. But UCLA, Kelly, I think UCLA is one of the five best teams in the country, like the rankings say. I actually think they are ranked properly by the AP poll. But 7 is a lot. Again, back to back, the first of the back to back at Elevation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough, that is the toughest road trip in the Pac-12, even if the teams are not particularly good, because you have teams that are not used to playing at Elevation, having to play two games at Elevation right away. Yes, and I know you're thinking, what is wrong with you, Jeff? Why are you saying Salt Lake City is at Elevation? 4,200 feet is a lot more than what Los Angeles is at, Kelly. That's Elevation in comparison. Utah may end up on my card. It's not there yet, but the Utes may end up there when this is all said and done. But UCLA, I have highly power rated. Kelly, you want NBA previews tonight?
Let's go.
NBA back after a week away. Kelly Bidlin and I preview the card next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is excited to announce the launch of 3 new live shows to cover the dynamic sports betting markets like no one can. With fresh new concepts, pairings, as we head into a new season of sports, VSiN will continue to deliver all the news, analysis, and insights you've come to expect from us here at VSiN. So check out the new lineup starting Monday. During the week, VSiN Best Bets at 2 o'clock Eastern. Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah from 3 to 6 Eastern time. And then on the weekends, the new show, The Handle, with Matt Brown and Dave Ross. Noon Eastern time on Saturday and Sunday. The new shows at the network. There we go. I actually got the names right, Kelly. But mostly because it was right in front of my nose.
I was going to say, it helps when it's on a graphic in front
of you. Well, The Handle wasn't on the graphic, though.
Okay, you got one right.
I got one right. It's good. Hey, that's all that matters, right? He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you here on A Numbers Game. Jason Weingarten joins us next segment. MLB futures and more. Kelly, is there any more? Is the winter baseball done? I guess it has to be since spring training is underway. You have no idea.
I don't know what your question is.
So, like, In the Caribbean series, Jason Weingarten.
Yeah,
like,
he was betting that a couple weeks ago.
And that's all over. Okay. All right. Let's just make it.
I don't really know. It's a good question. They're all ramping up for the World Baseball Classic. That's what we're going to talk to Jason a little bit about next. But yeah. I don't know, I guess.
The World Baseball Classic, these teams are sick how good some of them are. Mm-hmm. And then you have some teams that are like, why are we bothering?
Are you surprised? I think I'm pleasantly surprised that the World Baseball Classic is still a thing.
You know why I think a lot of good players are playing in it? And this is the one thing that why FIFA's idea, oh, we're going to have the World Cup every 2 years is nonsense. Mm-hmm. The fact we haven't had one in 5 years makes me think that these players, if you keep this on like an every 4 or 5 year basis, when it pops up, it's like, you know what? I want to play in this thing.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I get to wear my nation's colors. I get to go out and compete against the best in the world in a short-form tournament, no less. I think if you keep this on, remember, this was supposed to be an every 2 year thing when it first started.
Right.
And it never materialized that way. And I think for the better of it, it actually is every 4 or 5 years. So an extra year because the pandemic got pushed back 1 year this go-around.
I think you're right, though. That time period makes a difference because if it was every couple of years, I think you might not have as many. If it's every 4 years, something like that, right? If it was 4 to 5 years, whatever it would be, I think you get players thinking, okay, I would love to do this once, right? And you never know in professional sports how quickly your career can come to an end. So kind of like you're talking about, I think it's easier to talk yourself into doing one that maybe then turns into doing it a couple times, right? If you space it out a little bit longer.
06, 09, 13, 17. This one was supposed to be in 21, postponed because of COVID.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. I think you're right.
Yeah, you put it every four.
If it was too regularly, you're right. It would be too easy for too many players just to opt out of it.
I think for every 4 years, put the next one in 2027. Perfect. Nothing wrong with that at all. All right, Kelly, let's go to the NBA. Let's start in Cleveland. Man, this is such a good slate that this game isn't even on national TV.
I know, right? This really is. I wasn't, you know what, Jeff? I really didn't miss a ton of, I know Drew was on here yesterday and he was talking about, man, I'm ready for the NBA to get back. Yes, I am from a betting standpoint. But no, you know what? The past few days, being able to not have to handicap, Drew and I are guys that dig into this stuff every single night. Being able to take a few nights off of handicapping the NBA, me actually being able to watch some college basketball, that was nice. But let's get back to it. Denver at Cleveland tonight. This should be a great game. Like you said, this one's not even on national television, but this would be one of the better ones of the night. This is one of those games where the Cavs have been playing incredible at home all season long. I think that they do. I mean, with Jared Allen and Mobley, they have the guys that they can throw at Nikola Jokic to slow him down a little bit. Obviously, Mobley will be overpowered by him, but when you're able to combine those two guys, I do think they're going to be able to slow him down on the interior. So I do lean a little bit to the Cavs side of this here tonight. The other thing, looking at numbers, just going into the All-Star break, in their past eight games, Cleveland 7-1 with a plus 17.9 net rating over that time in non-garbage time minutes. That is by far the best in the league, not even close. First in offense over that time, second in defense. Denver, not that they're playing poorly, they are fifth best in that rating over that time. But you're talking about going into Cleveland tonight where they've played very, very well at home. I do like the idea of them laying a short number. This is not one that I've bet yet. I might just look to get in on this game live. Might not even take a pregame position on it, but definitely a heavy lean to the Cavs side for me. Probably nothing pregame, but I'll look to get in live on them at some point. One of the other big ones tonight, Grizzlies at 76ers. This is a line that has been dropping. I believe this opened Sixers about four and a half, down to three and a half now most places. The Grizzlies are struggling on the road this season, 11-17, 9-18, and 1 ATS. Look, the recent numbers all point to the 76ers in this one. They are 6-2 over their last eight games, plus 6.2 net rating in non-garbage time minutes. Top 10 both offensively and defensively. I think with no Steven Adams in the lineup, Embiid will be an absolute handful tonight. Another one I'm not betting pregame, but definitely lean to the 76ers side here. The Embiid comments, I think we all need to keep in mind. A lot of time has passed, obviously, since the start of before the All-Star game. But, Jeff, you remember Embiid having that comment right before the All-Star break about, look, I'm not healthy. I'm going to probably need to miss some time here at some point. The trainers have told me I need to take some time off, and I've kind of battled through it. I'm interested to see what that looks like here at the beginning of the post-All-Star break and how many, down the line, if Embiid does start taking some games off. So another game, not just because of that, but another game I'm going to avoid betting pre-flop here, but we'll look to get in 76ers side live, assuming Embiid does go. The last game I do have a bet on, and this is one that Will Hill brought up yesterday, Thunder at Jazz. This number, it was completely out of whack. It's at least starting to drift to the right side now. This number opened Jazz about 2.5 or 3. We're all the way down to a pick'em here at the South Point. It is Jazz 1 or pick'em pretty much everywhere. I bet the Thunder just on the money line last night, plus 122, was the number I got on them. I still like them at a pick'em. That's fine. I think the Thunder should be moving towards that small favorite position actually in this game tonight. This is all about one team trending up, one team trending down. Oklahoma City, 4-3 over their last seven games, but plus 8.9 net rating in that time, fourth best in the league. This is a team that's struggling a bit defensively, but really good offensive team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of the top scorers in the league. We've talked about him all year long. And this is they're trending up while Utah's been trending down. They're going to continue to trend down after they lost some pieces during the trade deadline, before the trade deadline. Utah 3-5 over the past 8 games, minus 6.3 net rating over that time, 29th best defense in the NBA. So that has been really poor. I know the total is large here, 241. I wouldn't be betting the under on it, though. I'm not pulling the trigger on the over, but that's something I think you could keep your eye out for. OKC 14-5 ATS over their last 9 games, best ATS team in the league. Utah 2-5 straight up in their last 7. If you go and break down the schedules, look, I just gave you net rating and numbers and everything like that. Go and break down the schedules. Yeah, Oklahoma City has definitely played an easier schedule over this time than Utah has, but I still like them tonight. I think this number was off yesterday. It's moving closer to being on point now, Jeff, but I think it should be really Thunder laying 1 or 2 probably leading into this game. So I think small value still at pick 'em. I bet them when it was 2, 2.5, but I took them on the money line anyways. Do like the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. If this keeps drifting, you can always look to get in live too. I can almost guarantee there's going to be a point to get in live tonight on the Thunder if that's a side you like as well. Jeff, anything sticking out to you tonight in the NBA?
Kelly, I can't even remember the last time I made an NBA pre-flop bet.
Well, there you go.
It's been a while. I do have one question for you, though, real quick. And when you find a team like this where with Oklahoma City, mm-hmm. where they've played above expectations this year, there's no arguing that. They're way above expectations. Yeah. They already went over their win total for the year. How do you handle a team like this on the back end of it when they're young, they're clearly hungry, and they're too far out of the tanking mix?
Sure.
Obviously, tonight is a good spot because I don't know why Utah was favored to begin with in this game, because Utah seems to be one of the teams that you have to attack these last 2 months if you're betting.
Yep.
How do you handle a young team like this?
I mean, look, I think if you're betting against them, it's a dangerous proposition any night. I mean, they kind of like you're talking about, right? This is a young team that's not in that tanking position, that knows they're going to have a lot of these pieces together for a while, that this team just continues to grow and grow together. And look, there's no way to do that by winning basketball games and beating good teams along the way. You also got guys that got things to prove, like SGA does this year, right, of where he falls in that stacking, that ranking of best players in the NBA. So, look, I think they're a good bet-on team. I rarely will be betting against them.
Pick right now. OKC is going to probably close 1-2 when it's all said and done. Hey, on the other side, Jason Weingarten. We're talking World Baseball Classic.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college hoops cards on a daily basis, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99 as an introductory offer. That's $9.99. That's pretty good. Really good deal. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the year, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and daily props. So don't miss out on this limited time offer today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for just $9.99. VSIN.com/subscribe.
Now, of course, it's not as good of a deal as the Kirkland Signature Breakfast Blend coffees that are on sale right now at Costco that I'm sure Jeff took advantage of yesterday. But, you know, we try to do what we can.
I don't drink coffee. You know that.
Yeah, I forgot you don't.
I don't drink coffee. My fiance does, but I don't.
Jeez.
I drink tea. That's my – and it's nowhere near as much caffeine as coffee.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the – I can't get over the taste. It's not like – one of the best Mike Leach – things of all time, of course, rest in peace. His quotes on coffee is like, yeah, it's terrible, but you got to drink it.
Right.
You just got to down it. You just got to down it, suffer through it. And that's kind of how I feel about coffee, but I don't want to suffer through it.
I hear you.
Hate the taste. Not
you,
my thing.
You a beer drinker?
Yes. Not as much as I used to be, but yes, there are beers.
You don't have the same take
So, I mean, when we were young, you got to get used to the beer taste because at first it tastes horrible. But
taste, yeah.
No, but it's not. In the morning, I don't want to get smacked in the face with something I don't like. It's a different.
That helps wake you up, man. You don't like it. It's going to help you even more.
I don't even know. Like, I'm okay. Like, if you can get Kelly, the only coffee thing I'll drink is like a flavored latte.
Yeah, then it's like barely coffee.
Then it's not really coffee.
It's like more like hot chocolate.
Correct.
Drinking.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, like, I got you.
Like
I
a latte
you.
Or a mocha are the only things that I'm okay with.
And, I got you.
Hey, look, I know everyone cared about that this morning. Kelly, while we're efforting Jason, there are some other things on the college basketball slate that are a little bit interesting today.
Again, yeah, what you got?
It's one of these weird cards. Remember, these are all the Big Ten games, the West Coast games are today. Kelly, I want to go. You know, it's a numbers game, so we have fun with numbers here. How about a game that has a total of 109.5 right now? That seemed fun.
Yikes!
North Texas at Charlotte. Okay. North Texas, of course, of tournament acclaim 2 years ago when they upset Purdue. That CUSA is really good this year. They're really good. We've talked about your Owls of FAU being a legitimate tournament team as Kelly, I know it's a dangerous game in a total with 109.5, but I actually like the mean greed in this game against Charlotte.
I mean, what is this? Two teams that they can't play offense at all?
No,
and they
how
play
about
average
this?
How about this, Kelly?
You have tempo 260, or excuse me, I have to get this right. Tempo 362 versus tempo 363.
Whew.
The last time these teams, Kelly, this
not a lot of fast break points happening tonight, huh?
Kelly, I can't even make this up. You want to guess how many possessions these two teams had in the game they played on February 11th?
I have 11th? No clue.
You want to guess?
47.
Oh, look at that. You got it right on the number.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow. Look at that.
Right on the number.
Look at that. There's no way. 47?
Which might be the slowest game I can remember in the shot clock era.
How's that even possible?
Well, you run the shot clock down all the time.
I thought it was going so ridiculously low that it wouldn't even be possible.
47. You know what the silliest part of
all
this
is? Right, so we're talking like we'll be generous. 24 a half.
Yeah, 23 and a half.
So yes. Like each team, I mean, this is with me without looking at it. Like you had 12 possessions a half. Like we've seen NFL games.
Kelly, you want the total time, like the regular start to finish actual time of the game? The game lasted only an hour and 41 minutes.
That tracks. Yeah, that tracks. I mean, it would have to be well under 2 hours.
In that game, wow. By the way, the most miraculous part of the whole thing, in that first matchup, North Texas scored 67 in a 47-possession game. Imagine if that game actually had a real amount of possessions. It scored 100.
Efficiency.
I mean, they were incredible. They're 1.43 points per possession.
What were the field goal percentages of that? You got that in front of you?
North Texas in that game, I have the KenPom bracket, so bear with me here.
No, you're good.
North Texas. This is actually one of the most amazing shooting games I've ever seen.
I was going to say, I'm just thinking, if they put up that many points, I'm guessing their efficiency was very high.
This is amazing, Kelly.
And there might actually be value on this.
16 to 25 from two, that's 64%.
Okay.
9 of 17 from three, that's 53%. And an 8 of 8 from the line.
You got it. It's under a pass here, man.
I mean, the under actually is probably good in this game.
It's got to be
because North Texas is going to come back from that. And I do like North Texas because I think North Texas is much better than Charlotte. And when it's the same style type of game with the teams I usually like, the team that is more talented playing the same style. And Charlotte probably is going to do the exact same thing offensively where they're at 0.9 points of possession, 35% from two, 28% from three, and 75% from the line. Kelly, there are only 13 turnovers in this first matchup. This is hysterical looking at this. 47 possessions. By the way, that is by far the slowest game in college basketball this year. By a wide margin.
Is this on TV tonight? It's on national television?
If it's on national television,
like,
it was
CBS Sports.
If it's
or
on national television, it was be on CBS Sports Network. Let's check real quick. It is on ESPN Plus.
Okay.
So if you got your subscription.
Yeah, I might have to put it on a computer or something.
What, because of how slow this is going
to
be?
Yeah, I just want just to see, be intrigued. I just want to see this kind of basketball play.
47 possessions, Kelly. 47 possessions. It's not even possible.
I'm trying to make it through some of this. That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm trying to make it through some of this Lamar Jackson story. I don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, go ahead. You bring it up. I only have one other college basketball one I kind of like tonight.
Oh, what else do you like?
How about Detroit Mercy at home against Northern Kentucky laying a point and a half for short money line price? Number one scorer in the country. One of the all-time leading scorers in the history of college basketball as well, in Anton Davis. And the last time these teams met, Northern Kentucky won by two. And Detroit's playing better now. They've won three in a row. Yes, I know Detroit beat IUPUI earlier in the week, and IUPUI is really bad at basketball. Beat Oakland to beat Green Bay, who's also terrible. Beat IPFW, and they beat Cleveland State also in this run. Those are two reasonable teams. A minus 120. If you can get a minus 120 or a minus 115 money line, that's what I like. Also, by the way, how does Detroit Mercy's been around for a long time? How do we not have a logo for that one?
That's a good question.
That's an interesting one. I know they just changed it. You know what Detroit Mercy's mascot is, Kelly?
Who?
The Titans. No Derrick Henry, though. Unfortunate there. All right, Kelly, what do you got on Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, just coming through this article that came out today from ESPN, some of the stuff was brought up last night, too. I saw some reports on this. There's a lot to dig through here. I think this thing looks like it's getting worse than better. Honestly, with Lamar, and maybe his days in Baltimore are numbered. There's this story from ESPN, Jeremy Fowler and Jameson Hensley combining on this one. But talking about one of the ones I started to hear about this last night is that apparently any negotiations that these two sides have had, and they've been limited, Lamar Jackson, who does not have an agent, keep in mind, he was one of those guys that entered the draft that was, I know, advised by some a management team in South Florida, some of the guys I actually know kind of well down there. They kind of started the trend of some of these guys going into the draft without an agent because of that rookie pay scale, where it was really slotting basically a salary for your position and where you were drafted. So it wasn't much of a reason to have an agent. Now, unfortunately, I think spin it forward, you're at the point where you kind of need an agent. When you are negotiating big money contracts like this, I do think it's going to be hurting Lamar to not have a full-fledged agent on his side for this. But apparently, according to this report, every conversation that these two sides have had, Jeff, is that Lamar has told them he wants every bit of guaranteed dollars that Deshaun Watson got, if not more. So there's basically been an impasse from the start with these negotiations, because it doesn't sound like the Ravens are rushing to pay that, and it doesn't sound like Lamar Jackson's backing down anytime soon either. There also seems to be some questions in this report about the true injury status of Lamar during those playoffs. And there's team medical personnel that thought he was good to go, and he was telling them, no, I'm not good to go. So, man, if more of these stories come out, this could get a lot uglier than better here in Baltimore between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Yeah, I would say, again, Atlanta and the Jets would be the two spots that make the most sense for Lamar Jackson. He's young. He's a former MVP. You have bad injury concerns, as we know. Didn't finish either of the last two seasons healthy, but, man, that would be, for an organization that is perceived to be as good as Baltimore is, it would be a massive mess up if they couldn't get anything done. Our guy Dwayne Colucci talking hockey and stuff from behind the counter next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credit like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. So sign up today at BetMGM to get an even bigger piece of the action. Must be 21 or older to place a wager. New and existing customer offer. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Happy to be with you on a Thursday morning. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin here as well in a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin might have an XFL bet, but probably not, right, Kelly?
Yeah, no, I don't think. There's one player prop I'm interested in tonight, but I'm not even seeing numbers posted from most shops. Well,
that's an issue.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Tonight is off their dramatic comeback, the St. Louis Battlehawks and the Seattle Sea Dragons. Why aren't they just the Seattle Dragons? Is everything in Seattle have to be sea?
That's a good point.
What?
Yeah, you have to include sea in there.
It must be sea. Seahawks, sea dragons.
I love Battlehawks, though.
Battlehawks, great name.
I mean, I don't even know really what that is, but I just imagine
it's nothing.
Multiple hawks battling each other.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Sounds cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
Former Jet Anthony Becht, former Alabama quarterback. AJ McCarron, the quarterback for the Battlehawks?
Really? Yeah. I believe Seattle's Ben DiNucci, right?
Yes. It was DiNucci to Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
The most ridiculous touchdown combination in the history of football, basically. Oh, but now with us, though, if you're in Vegas, you should go up to Summerlin and say hello to this guy at the Rampart Sportsbook in Summerlin. And he's the Racing Sportsbook Director up there. It's our friend, the nicest guy in Las Vegas to me, Dwayne Colucci. Dwayne, how you doing this morning?
It's good to talk to you, Jeff. You and Kelly, definitely. It's been a little while, but I'm doing well. And just to avoid the snow out in Summerlin all of a sudden. Now
yes,
we're twice in 1 month. I can't believe it, guys.
Yeah, I was telling Kelly earlier, Dwayne, that I was up at Costco right by Red Rock, a few minutes from where your property is, and just all these snow pellets. And it's like we're back on the East Coast. We don't need that. It's Vegas. Not supposed to snow here.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking to avoid. That's why I moved here, Jeff, without a doubt, over 25 years ago. And I was in the same area. I was actually going to Shake Shack right behind the Rock. And, it was coming down, I'll tell you, for a good 20, 25 minutes. So very interesting the way the weather has changed out here in Las Vegas.
It's craziness. Craziness. Thank goodness it still wasn't real snow, because if it was real snow, this city would be shut down for about a month, basically, if there was real snow. All right, Dwayne, I want to start in hockey with you because you're a big hockey fan, as we know. Just with a little under 2 months to go here in this regular season, Eastern Conference is obviously really strong. Western Conference is really down. How are we looking at the way the league has played out here now? Again, Stanley Cup playoffs start in the middle of April.
Yeah, it's amazing, Jeff. It seems like all the Eastern Conference teams are making the big moves, obviously, for the big-name players. I mean, whether it was Tarasenko, O'Reilly to Toronto, there's a lot of big moves, and they're all swaying towards the Eastern Conference. And I believe that a lot of that has to do with the Vegas Golden Knights having the salary cap issues, because you know that we would be very prominent in the free agent market. But there were some mistakes in prior years, Jeff, that have cost us and put the handcuffs on, basically. Plus, Colorado, they're trying to avoid an injury bug. You know, they want to return to the Stanley Cup Finals, but when you have Landeskog hurt basically the whole season, McCarr now is in a rough situation with these concussions. Definitely it's going to take its toll. Yeah, McKinnon's there, but they really have not found their classic stride just yet, and that's going to become a major, major factor. Now, teams like Dallas, Winnipeg, you know they're not too active in free agency markets anyway. So it's going to be interesting. I think the Eastern Conference is way better. Obviously, the Bruins are there. Carolina is phenomenal. They're on a four-game winning streak, 9-1 in their last 10. The Rangers, if they ever get Patrick Kane, you know, you already have Shesterkin. Zibanejad is a power play scoring machine, as well as Kreider. And the Devils are just waiting for Hughes to come back. So you got a lot of good teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think the West, you know, you only got to beat one team, remember that, in the Stanley Cup Finals in the playoffs. But it's going to be difficult, Jeff.
Dwayne, you mentioned Colorado, of course, the defending champs. The injury bug has been horrendous for them this year, as you brought up. Are they still, if they get somewhat healthy, I guess they are still, I know the betting market says they are, but I guess they still are the team to beat out West, right? I guess?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, they have an 18-goal differential. They're good at home. They're good on the road. 17-10 on the road, which is not that bad considering all these injuries. Overall, 31-19. You know, they sit in third in the Central, but they do have right in their sights Dallas and Winnipeg, who have come back down to earth. And you have to remember, Dallas and Winnipeg, they basically survived with Jake Ottinger as well as Winnipeg with Connor Hellebuyck. So Colorado could definitely make some noise. I hope Makar is healthy and comes back. It'll definitely play out well for them. They have 67 points, whereas the conference leader, the Vegas Golden Knights, only have 73. And Vegas has been very banged up as well. Let's not forget that. We lost Logan Thompson, an all-star, Mark Stone, who is the captain, and several players to massive injuries and periods where they would miss 15 to 20 games. And that's definitely going to take its toll as you go further on in the playoffs with young teams like Los Angeles and Seattle, very healthy and very hungry as well. Tonight's a huge game for Seattle playing at home against the Boston Bruins. They definitely are playing without their top rookie as well, so they want to stabilize. And the Kings have been pretty good on the road, I'll be honest with you. They have a big game as well tonight, 15-10-5. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I think Colorado is the top team, but it's wide open just because of the injuries and the lack of the star firepower on the Western Conference side.
Dwayne, is there anything on the card you like tonight in and as always, an expansive Thursday NHL card?
Yeah, the NHL cards on Thursday nights have been fabulous. And I'll tell you, Jeff, Tampa Bay is starting to really find their stride. I've had trouble handicapping this team, but tonight, minus 220 at home against the Buffalo Sabres. We're seeing a lot of big spreads this year, with mismatches similar to this, but this isn't that big of a mismatch. Buffalo has played solid. You know, they've gotten some great play out of Thompson, and definitely, guys like Alex Tuch, their goaltending hasn't been too bad. But Tampa Bay is now making a playoff push, and I think Vasilevsky and the boys, Kucherov, those guys, they're so well experienced, and when Anthony Cirelli is healthy, they're a different team. So I'm definitely looking at Tampa. I think the Kings definitely have a chance. You know, they lost a tough one the other night, and the Devils played the Montreal Canadiens, who were 1-9-1 in their last 11 on the road, and the Canadiens dominated the Devils. So now it's starting to get, a little nerve-wracking for the Devils without Jack Hughes. Can they stabilize and continue on this playoff push and stay ahead of the New York Rangers? But that's why you're seeing only a minus 145 at the Rampart and South Point, Jeff, as a home favorite. The Kings definitely have a fighter's chance in this game. Like I said, big games upcoming now at the Fortress for the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm not going tonight, but I'm going to be attending the Carolina and Montreal games. So I think Vegas, definitely a better road team, Jeff. We've seen that this year. But they have to start winning games at the Fortress because Calgary is another hungry team that is starting to play a little better. Vegas ended that five-game winning streak with a terrible loss against Chicago. I mean, Pietrangelo did shoot the puck over, took a bad penalty with less than 2 minutes to go. That was the turning point that helped Chicago win that game. But I think the Vegas Golden Knights can remain focused and win this game. 1:30 at the Rampart and South Point tonight versus the Calgary Flames. Rangers are playing a hot Detroit team. Don't sleep on Detroit, but the Rangers definitely are now the premier team in the futures market, Jeff. We're seeing a lot of money come in on the New York Rangers after the Tarasenko deal. If they ever get Patrick Kane, that could put them over the top. 33-15, and they have 75 points. But like I said, Detroit 7-3 in their last 10. That's a heavy-hitting matchup. I would probably lay off that game just because Detroit is at home. Shesterkin will be magnificent there, though. And definitely, like we said, the Seattle and Boston game, marquee matchup. I would definitely take the plus with the Kraken. I like a plus 150 in that range at home, even though you're going against the juggernaut Bruins. This is a big game for Seattle. They could definitely leapfrog both L.A. and Vegas if they get hot. They're playing at a decent level right now. Like I said, they're missing key players, 4-5-1 in their last 10. Great hockey card tonight, Jeff.
He's Dwayne Colucci again, NY Bookie Dwayne on the tweets, the race and sports book director up at the Rampart. Dwayne, pleasure as always. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Kelly. Always love joining you guys.
This has been a numbers game here on VSiN. For Kelly Bidlin, I'm Jeff Parles. The Lombardi Line is next.